we were massive on Murray, Radley, and Strange in the first game. With Cleary, they were our three best, I thought. Well, they combined for 88 minutes between the three of them.
Yep.
So Daly's basically taken three of our four best off the field from game one and said, between you, you're only going to play the equivalent of one full game.
I just loved how in the zone he was. That there was a, I don't know if you saw, there was a replay when he did the kick through to Hammer. That as soon as he kicked it, he's just got this big smile on his face because he knows what's about to unfold. The play hasn't even happened yet, but he's smiling because he knows that ball's going to bounce straight up into Hammer's hands. Like he was he was mesmerising. Well, it's a good thing we're recording this the next day, Steve, because that was a disgrace last night from New South Wales.
Yeah, you can't be too happy if you're a New South Wales Blues fan. So we certainly talk about Origin and potential coaching situations with all the news around Laurie Daly. We also have a chat about some key matchups this weekend. It'll have bearing on top fours and top eights.
Yeah, absolutely. Some big names back, maybe also potential Blues. Turbo's back, Latrell's back, and a few other blokes coming back as well. So maybe some light at the end of the tunnel if you're a Blues fan. Let's get into it. Initial thoughts with 24 hours to dissect it, mate?
24 hours still hasn't been enough, truth be told. I'm still gobsmacked, mate, about how it all unfolded. You know, I'm sure we'll speak plenty about Laurie Daly and some of his decisions, and he's caught plenty in the media over it. But we had question marks going in around, you know, Dylan Lucas swapping sides and playing out on the right. We had concerns about the makeup of the bench, and unfortunately, the concerns really rang true. And New South Wales just weren't up to it, mate. I thought they got out the gates really well. You know, that first 20 minutes, not only on the scoreboard, but the way they played, I thought was excellent. And then, unfortunately, you know, I don't want to shitbag Laurie Daly because everyone's doing it, and he's done a hell of a lot more in the game than any of us. But when the coaching decision started to come into play around the interchange, and making sure that the game plan changed to see what he had against the Maroons, it just fell over from there. And Billy Slater once again coached rings around him, unfortunately, mate.
And it's hard to know if Billy really is that good or whether he's just not had enough competition, because the last time he coached against someone who's in the thick of it and been coaching regularly was Madge, and he... And they won well. I also think last year we talked about there was a bit of a honeymoon period for Loz, because he kind of got the best of what had happened the previous year. We won the first one without being fantastic. We're actually dominating at halftime in game two, and it's all there to win. And since then, we've just gone backwards. And we talked about it after game one. Was like, oh, he was like, oh, you know, we didn't really give ourselves a chance. Well, that may be true. But there were just too many poor performances across the board. There was so much talk about the selections. The question is, where does he go now? Does he stubbornly dig his heels in and go, no, we were right with the selections? Or does he go somewhere else? Because if you look at – this is something that Freddie, I think, fell into the towards the end of his tenure, was he started picking almost like based on like media talk. And the Dylan Lucas one was, there was a lot of talk about that from a few people, but then ultimately he made a decision that no one agreed with, and now it's come back to bite him on the ass. And I just think we're on a hiding to nothing. I just can't see us bouncing back for game three.
No, well, he puts the same 17 on the park, and for that matter, the same 19. It's not going to happen. It's going to be the same result again. Right? That's the bottom line. But I feel really bad for Dylan Lucas. I thought he's had a really big, you know, 2-3 years seasons with the Knights lately, and he'd been building for this. But unfortunately, Daly set him up to fail by moving him over to his incorrect side. Now, if respectfully, we can tell that Dylan Lucas's edge is going to be something that they're going to target, well, Slater's miles ahead of us. So that was always going to be the case. So I really feel for Dylan Lucas. I feel like, you know, Origin's going to take a massive toll on him. He gets dropped for Origin 3 and Olakau'atu comes back, then you're right. It makes Laurie Daly look a bit silly. And then, you know, the mental effect it could have on Lucas full time. We've seen time and time again where New South Wales have brought someone in for one game and they've never been cited again. So I really hope for Dylan Lucas' sake, whether it's game three or whether it's next year or the year after, he gets a go and he doesn't get set up to fail. He's either on his right edge or he's which is the left side, or he's on the pine to start the game. I thought that was a huge mistake that we called. But even, you know, we've been mentioning Moses from the whole season because you're a mad Parramatta fan. You know, we were unsure he was the right fit to start with. Then he's gone and picked him when he hasn't played for 6 weeks. And outside of some good long kicks early, I'll give him that. The first 20 minutes, his kicking game was very impressive. He was a non-event. Now, you know, you can argue that Queensland controlled the ruck and they didn't have a lot of momentum. But for mine, it just freezes Cleary out for half the field. He only plays his side of the field. And Moses just didn't offer anything either. So it's one thing to say that, you know, some of those players didn't perform well. I just think Daly's picked the wrong team to start with. And this isn't post the games. We've been talking about this before game one that we were worried he made these decisions, mate.
Yeah. And I think it comes back to, again, picking players that aren't in form. Like, Katoni Staggs was pretty poor last night, let's be honest. Well, he's come out of a team that's going horribly, and he hasn't been going fantastic. Now, you wouldn't drop him after game one because he was solid. But the fact that where we are now, and Latrell's back, well, he walks straight in. But even some of our like guys who have been good for us for a long time, Teddy, like... Yeah. It's like you don't, once you've fired someone, you don't rehire him. Like, to me, that's been proven to be a mistake. He scores that winner in game one, so you've got to pick him again, I guess. Brian Tyoe, he's again good with meters, but maybe these days you just can't afford to have someone that short because they just leapt over the top of him continually. For the life of me, I can't work out why we weren't kicking to Nwanga Niituazi's wing as many times as possible. Because we've seen what he can do. And I did, you know what, I did think at the moment that we bombed that try when, bombed's probably unfair because Cobbo did get a good shot on him. But the moment we didn't score that try to go up 18-2, I kind of thought that's going to come back and bite us. And unfortunately, we were never really in the game again after that.
Yeah. Interesting saying you just said about Tedesco. You don't hire someone after you fired them. Well, that's what someone in New South Wales headquarters did with Laurie Daly, right? So,
correct.
It is a head scratcher. Look, yeah, you make some good points. Look, I thought Mark on the wing was really good in attack. Look, Cobbo did a couple of things on him, but he did a couple of things on Cobbo. So whoever had the football won that competition, and either man's very hard to stop. When you're trying to defend them. So I thought he was pretty strong. I thought, again, Kohler with limited opportunity, I thought he worked pretty hard. But, yeah, for mine, even, you know, we talk about the middle forwards, you know, a number of them did well, but I think he got his rotation wrong. By the time the 60th minute comes up, he's only used 15 players and three subs. So, you know, they took Barnett and Haas off to bring in Murray and Radley, and then they took Radley off to bring Haas back on. So within 60 minutes, no wonder we were losing the middle battle because everyone was out on their feet. So I'm just so disappointed, mate, and so disillusioned by it. Once again, New South Wales find themselves in the same predicament.
Yeah, and it's almost like they just went so hard to make sure they started well. They didn't have that same focus for the second half. Like, you know, I heard them talking about in the pregame, oh, you know, they've been talking about we can't start slow. Mentally, it's just the wrong message. Like, it should just be this is what the focus is going to be, and it's got to be for 80 minutes. And they missed the jump in the second half. And like you said, we got completely carved up in the middle. You can't – the halves weren't good, let's be honest, but they can't do anything when they're getting absolutely murdered up the middle and we're not getting good ball. But to be fair, we had good ball in the first half. We didn't do a lot with it. And then we know how important possession is, and we just make some dumb mistakes coming out of our own end, pushing passes. And despite the fact that, yes, we scored some lucky tries, we were dominant really for that first 20 minutes. And yeah, could and should have turned that into more points. And I was thinking, like I said, like we needed more points from that dominance because it always swings around. They always come back and get us. And it's almost like he just like I was talking to a mate at football this afternoon. He goes, you know, I've been there when you're the head coach and you're thinking I could do this and I could do that and then you do nothing because it's like paralysis from analysis because you just don't know which decision to make. And that's what it felt like. It just took too long. We needed change. At first it was evident after 5 minutes of the second half. Yeah. And then Robson ends up playing the whole 80 and you mentioned Noonga Niitawazi and the defensively. Yeah, maybe a couple of bad reads, but he was also having to defend when the guys inside him were doing a horrible job. And it's, you know, he's known to have some defensive deficiencies, and that proved to be the case. But I don't know how much of that was his fault.
Mate, you're 100% right. Well, that come off Dylan Lucas's right side, right? So you're 100% right in everything you say there, mate. There's no question about that. When I mention that, I just say that how good Selwyn Cobbo was close to the line, and Mark did exactly the same on him. So there's no shadow on either of them. I thought he was one of New South Wales's best, truth be told. Mate, I think you hit the nail on the head there with, you know, Daly failed to act because I think he had so many ideas or concepts in his head about the way this bench could unfold. And I think he caught himself on the hop. And that come down to picking a bench that was so unbalanced that he didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to put Ethan Strange on, when to do it. He didn't know about Appy. Like, there should have been a cut and dried plan with Appy coming onto the field. I mean, you just know that you're not going to get that attacking punch from Reece Robson. He did a real good job in defence. He delivered well when needed to at a dummy half, but he doesn't have that attacking power. So there needed to be a plan, and as soon as Queensland got on a roll, Appy had to go onto the field. There was no ifs, buts or maybes. He had to be out there. For them not to play him at all, and then the whole Ethan Strange thing around, you know, they brought Fenua Blake off when Stagg got sent to the sin bin, because they were worried about Fenua Blake being, you know, too slow in the middle, which is fine. But Ethan Strange, if you watch him, he defended the next two sets in the middle, and then it was like someone got a message out to him, mate, you've got to be defending out in the centres because Stags is out, so you've got to be on the right-hand side. So then he went out to the right-hand side and defended. To me, it was just an absolute shit show from the tactical side of it. After that 20 minutes. When the 20 minutes bells hits, especially you look at the NRL, that's when the interchanges start from 20 minutes out. So the first 20 minutes, the coach isn't doing anything, right? And they've got a whole – they've got Brett White, they've got King in the coach's box helping with these interchange. So it's not wholly and solely on Daly. They just got caught on the hop, mate, and it simply wasn't good enough at this level. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, Queensland went to their bench earlier. They bring on Lindsay Collins, who's you know, he's going to give you absolutely everything in Origin. They probably got a little bit lucky in a sense that when Tino went off with the HIA, he then came back with 5 minutes to go in the first half with a bit of a rest when we had smaller bodies on. So that worked in their favour as well, and then that certainly was the case in the start of the second half as well. He just got out-coached, and no one was excited about the appointment in the first place. As you just mentioned before, you don't rehire someone who you've fired. So to me, it's like, well, we might come to who were the alternatives and who is now, but we need to talk about how good Queensland were. Sam Walker, like, how comfortable has he looked from game one? They've got now an absolute wealth of riches because Tom Dearden's fit in a couple of weeks. So if Munster decides to wrap it up sometime in the next year or two, then Dearden just slides straight in there. They just suddenly, like, we're thinking, oh, we might have a bit of a run for a few years. It's not looking like that.
No, he was super impressive. He really was. There wasn't, you know, if you actually look at the stats, he wasn't credited with you know, line break assists and try assist, etc. But he was simply phenomenal, mate. He's well mature above his age. He's got a lot of time. You know, you look back in that first half of game one, it just seemed like he was playing in slow motion compared to the others. I'm screaming at the TV for Radley to come out the line and put a shot on him, except they didn't start with Radley. Radley's on the bench, and we've got these plodders in the middle who are letting Walker do whatever they wanted. And that really hurt. And, you know, as soon as you give someone some belief that they're up to a certain level, they run with it. And he's fitted into that Maroon side so smoothly and looked like he's been there for 5 or 6 years. You know, you've even got to take a look at the way he kicked goals. He was slotting from the sideline just with no stress, no pressure in the world, and he's just popped. So, mate, he's certainly got a long future. I know Munster joked around, you know, he may have to hang them up because with Tom Dearden and Walker floating around, he may not get a bait. So, obviously, that won't happen for the short term, but Walker and Dearden, they're going to give New South Wales a lot of trouble for a lot of years to come, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there about plodders in the middle. Maybe that everyone was saying, like, Cam Murray's got to start. We would have had that opportunity for points because he quickened up our ruck immediately when he came on. Our line speed as well, which often Nathan was having to lead the line speed. Yeah, we just got killed there. Is it time for Isaiah Yeo to move on and I was even thinking, I know you can't blame Cleary for last night, but at what point, even like with Australian teams, do you say, okay, well, you're the best team in the NRL, best player in the NRL, but you're just like, who else has had as long a run without outstanding performances that he has in a rep jersey?
Yeah, unfortunately for Yeo, for mine at least, mate, he's one of the best locks ever to play in the NRL, ever to play. But unfortunately, Origin isn't built for a ball-playing 13, right? Now, we've seen over the past players have done that, but the game's just getting quicker and quicker and quicker, right? So if you're going to be a ball-playing 13, you need to be doing it over the advantage line quick. And Yeo and Penrith, for that matter, don't play like that. So Yeo is a little bit deeper and he takes a little bit more time. And the NRL, perfect. Mate, he's been phenomenal for Penrith. But unfortunately, that game doesn't translate to the NRL, to State of Origin. And then the idea of moving him into the front row, I don't understand the point of that. Because while he's a bloody good footballer, there's better front rowers than him in the game. So for mine, mate, I think it'd be a big call to drop him now. But it's got to get to a stage where someone's asking the question because his style of game, as while it is absolutely perfect for the NRL, it's just not translating. You talk about Murray and there's big calls for him to start. You know, we were massive on Murray, Radley and Strange in the first game. With Cleary, they were our three best, I thought. Well, they combined for 88 minutes between the three of them.
Yep.
So Daly's basically taken three of our four best off the field from game one and said, between you, you're only going to play the equivalent of one full game. So that, to me, sums up a huge error in, you know, him picking the form players. And Haas come back on. I thought Haas was really strong. So don't get me wrong, that was someone playing in the middle. But for the three of them to combine for 88 minutes and for Yeo to play 71, you know, for Robson to play 80, I just don't get it. I genuinely don't get it, mate.
No, you got to get the ball in the hands of the halves as quick as possible, and if there's an opportunity up the middle, then the hooker's got to be driving that. You've only got to look at what Queensland have done, and Harry Grant was immense again last night. And as good as Robson was defensively, he needed a rest because he was gassed, and the ruck just got too sloppy for New South Wales, and we had absolutely smashed. It's probably Munster's best game in a maroon jersey for a little while. And then the back five were just unbelievable.
Yeah. Let me read these numbers out. I know our stat man Will's not on here tonight, but the back five for Maroons, Ponga 126, Cobbo 199, Toya 86, Hammer 120, and Jojo Fifita 180. That is just phenomenal, phenomenal work rate from the Maroons back five. And that laid the platform. You know, you talk about them winning the ruck. Well, those quick meters was quite special. And don't get me wrong, the back five from New South Wales were all up over 100 or close enough to it. But they just really laid the platform for Queensland through that second half, and they just got on a roll. You know, off the kickoff, it wasn't far off before Cobbo made that break, and it basically slipped away from New South Wales from there.
Mm. Selwyn Cobbo. Christian Wolfe obviously knows how to motivate him, because has he played better? I mean, everyone talked about he's such a big body, he's quick, the possibilities, the potential, and it's only this year that we've really seen it unlocked to a level that people thought he was capable of. I just loved how in the zone he was. That there was a, I don't know if you saw, there was a replay when he did the kick through to Hammer. That as soon as he kicked it, he's just got this big smile on his face because he knows what's about to unfold. The play hasn't even happened yet, but he's smiling because he knows that ball's going to bounce straight up into Hammer's hands. Like he was just, he was mesmerizing. And and defensively, under the high ball, he was good. He had that good stop on Nita Wazia again. And it's quite an impressive performance by him and by that entire back line. And of course, the forwards doing their job as well and killing us up the middle. God help us in game three. It could be an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah, you're spot on with Cobbo, mate. He looks like he's just enjoying his footy. It's as simple as that. You know, he was pretty miserable at the Broncos and needed the change, and it certainly worked for him at the Finns. You know, probably for mine, Walker's leading the man of the series after two games, and Cobbo and can't be much, you know, behind Cleary potentially. You may even have Cleary if you think about the way he played in game one. So Cobbo's have a phenomenal series. Not only the finishing touches, but as we said, the hard work out of his own half, 20 runs for 200 metres, is quite impressive. You know, three line breaks, that's wow. You know what I mean? So truth be told, I think he's been hard-pressed not to have won last night's man of the match. I do agree Walker should have got it, but Cobbo wasn't far behind him, mate. He's been one special player.
He has, mate. So who's coaching the Blues next? Because it can't be Daly. I think we all agree on that. It'd be a small miracle if we go up there to Suncorp and win it in game three. I think all of us probably knew that while we're so disappointed today. Is it time to say we pick an NRL coach? Because to me, some of the options that have been floated around, Matt King, I'm trying to think of the other.
There's been a few.
Assistant coaches Boyd who have been Corner. Boyd Corner. They just don't inspire me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They're not the sort of names that make you go, oh, yeah, actually, that, like, I'm behind that. Whereas if the Bronx don't win another game and they flick Madge, like, I'd be like, get him back in there. Because, that was the first time in a long time that I can remember just having that belief in a Blues coach because of, yes, we played really well, but he went out and he found out. He did all the research. He went and interviewed all the different players. Now, maybe Laurie didn't feel like he needed to do that because he's been there and done that. But he brought all of that to the table. He made it all about New South Wales and the bigger picture. He engaged the fans. He made us believe, and then he went out there and did it. Now, that's what we want, and that's what Slater does, and it's what Queensland coaches do, and I think that's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah, I agree, mate. A lot will come down to Broncos with Madge. You don't know how he's going to lob. But I think Cleary's going to get either the Australian job if the Kangaroos can't get the World Cup won this year, and they'll be genuinely up against it with some of these Pacific nations. If he can't get the job done, then that job will be vacant. And obviously the Blues job, it's a year early for Cleary. He's still got one more year with Penrith. But I certainly think he will be coaching either New South Wales or Australia. I think that'll fit into his it'll be an itch you'll want to scratch, representative coaching, and it'll fit into his lifestyle that he doesn't want to have the day in, day out. So I think he's an absolute certainty for one of those jobs. The New South Wales job, mate, they seem to love the ex-players. So whether it's an Ennis or a Cordner, a King, I know White was in the box last night. So whether it's one of those players or not, I'm not sure, mate. But right now, New South, it's almost back to the days of saying that just New South Wales just don't quite get it again. Like the team that they've picked just has been caught on the hop. Like you look, if Ponga doesn't get sent off, New South Wales win both 1 and 2 comfortably. Like it's not even
Queensland.
It's comfortably. It's not even a shout. And you know, for the spectators and the fans, it's been good that he did get sent off. So we've got a decider in the Game 3. But truth be told, it was a last kick in Game 1 and a send off that got New South Wales over the line. So Daly's been caught on the hop a lot. And he won't be there next year, regardless of what happens in Game 3. For mine, I'd love to see Madge back in, but I'd love to see him coach the Dragons as well. So he can't do it all for me. don't be surprised if Cleary's name gets thrown around. And then for me, I think they'll lob on a Boyd Cordner. If you want me to jump off the fence, I think if it's not Cleary, I think they'll go with Boyd Cordner, mate. There's huge raps on him out of the Roosters' lower grades, and he has been doing a fair bit in the pathway system for New South Wales. So if it's me, I'll lob on Cordner if it's not Cleary.
Yeah, he might not want to do it though. He might want to. Might want to move up into a first grade squad and then get a job there. I'd be going with Ricky Stewart. Change the rules. He's someone that every time he has coached at that level, we knew what we were going to get. Like he is all about, it's got to be hard, it's got to be tough. He knows what it's about. He would definitely get the state pulling in the same direction. And love him or hate him, like he's an absolute dog with a bone no matter what he's doing. And because you've also got to be able to play the media. And Madge did it perfectly. He played Billy Slater. We talked about the glass houses last year and and Ricky would be able to manage that as well. Whereas I just think Laurie Daly, nice guy, but he just seemed to, like Matt King said, he wasn't supposed to mention that Strange was going to play in the back row. Whoa.
Yeah. You know, I agree, mate. Good shout by Ricky Stewart. Certainly if, they open it up to club coaches. I think Ricky's the same mould as Madge, right? He's sort of mellowed a little bit as he's gotten older, but he's perfect for it. You're right with the press conferences. Even now, I understand he's absolutely gutted this morning. I get it, right? Mm. But some of the press conferences he's done this morning at the front of the hotel and a few things, mate, he's just so, like, he just lacks confidence in his answers. I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, mate, I don't even know whether you believe what you're saying. Like, there's no confidence, there's no certainty. You know, the difference, you listen to Maguire, you listen to Stewart, and there's many others. Cleary's the same. You believe what they're saying. Like, they could tell you the sky was red and you'd believe them. Unfortunately, for Daly, just hasn't clicked, mate. So it's disappointing we're talking about who's going to coach next year with a decider coming up. But, I think they've got a week and a half of a bit of soul-searching, not the players. I think the selectors and Daly, about what team they're going to put on the park and then how they're going to manage his bench during the 80 minutes, mate.
Yeah, agreed. All right. I feel better now. What about you? It's good therapy.
You feel like you've got it off your shoulders, mate.
Oh, mate.
I like that.
Fucking hell. Imagine if we'd record it last night. Jesus. Yeah. All right, let's get to NRL, where for you and I, things aren't much better, but there's hope. And the Dragons are been on a good run. They've had three good rounds in a row, if not translating into competition points, but with the Knights likely to have a couple out, or maybe not, maybe they all play, but you would imagine that those guys might struggle to back up tomorrow night. There'd be a chance.
It'll be a big one, mate. It really will. Bradman Best will definitely be in, and he will be doing everything to push for State of Origin selection. Obviously, the centres haven't been tremendous. Albeit Kohler's done well, he's been moved off the wing from Game 1, but Best will be wanting to have an absolute barnstorming game. So we've got two fairly good centres that have been out of form. So It'll be interesting, you know, Gagai, Best versus Suli and Holmes, four season campaigners. So that'll be a big, you know, sort of kicker to see who goes on to win it. I only got off the phone from our listener Elsie from Greenacre, and he assures me Ponga and Lucas won't play. They won't back up. I did make a joke that Lucas should feel pretty fresh because unfortunately he didn't do tremendous amounts at Origin. But so he word on the street is off Elsie that they won't be playing. So that'll certainly help St George's chances. But Bestin is going to be a big one. The Dragons, what I like of what he's done, Dean Young, is that he's kept this same young forward pack together week in, week out. And he's right in what he says. They've earned that right to play together. But it's another week with them together. It's another week of them building. But for me at home, even without Lucas and Ponga, I just think they're just going to be a little bit too good, mate.
Yeah, I think you're right. Bradman Best, he's a guy that's been picked in Origin a few times, and his first game, and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure about this, but he has been outstanding every time he's been picked in a blue jersey. So yeah, we've got a whole lot of options there at centre. I think Kohler would be a fantastic guy to have on the bench as that extra back. Can cover a few positions. He can cover fullback, wing, and centre. So if they bring in some of the big guns, he has been decent. So he'd be worth keeping. Oh, he made some good yards last night, but sadly the problem wasn't with him. Tigers Finns. Well, is Dewey back? He's been named in an extended bench.
Yeah. This is a interesting team list Tuesday, both teams for that matter. So certainly Fini Filiaki will back up. He only got on for the last couple of minutes, so there'll be no dramas with him. Plath played some big minutes and some tough minutes.
Some good minutes, mate.
He was phenomenal. I thought the poor bugger got caught on the hop in Origin 1 a little bit. I think it was similar to Fennell Blake where it was, holy shit, they're right, this is really quick. Where Origin 2 was sort of like he got it, and some of the things he did, I think he was last passed at two tries. If it wasn't two, it was certainly the one. So, look, Fini Filiaki will definitely play. Plath, maybe. But for mine, the big ones, the Tigers, obviously we've been speaking about Dewey for a couple of weeks now, and every week we say, will he or won't he? It's been a huge out for him. So if he comes into the side, that's a huge increase for them. Apisai Corrissell will definitely play.
He'll be fresh.
Benji said today, 30 grand for sitting on the pine. He thought he'd want to come out of retirement himself. But so he'll be in. And then Kai Pierce-Paul's a big out, mate. He's torn his pec. The back row that come down from the Knights at the beginning of this year has been huge for them on that edge. But he's going to be out potentially for the season. Hopefully he gets back for the World Cup for England. So look, for mine, it's hard to back against the Dolphins at the moment with the form they're in, but with Dewey and if Jerome can play the way he did last week, this could be a very interesting game of football, mate.
Yeah, I agree. I still think the Finns will have way too much for them. We talked about it, their performance last week with half a dozen out. Again, they should be too good again. They may have a couple missing, but we'll see how we go. All right. If Titans wanted to ever get the Panthers, this would be when. Cleary, To'o and Yeo, you would imagine they'll be rested because that's what Cleary has done the last few years. They're way out in front, so it's not like he's under any pressure to win games. You'd expect them not to play. The Titans haven't been awful, but also there's a lack of some star quality, which we've talked about, and there's some defensive deficiencies still. But they'd like their chances if the Panthers do have a few of their Origin guys not backing up.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Obviously, Casey McLean will be another out for them. He'll be out for a few weeks with his injury, unfortunately, for Penrith. And, yeah, I can't see the Origin players backing up. I think they'll think they've got plenty in the tank to beat the Titans, and they're probably right. You know, they're obviously Tino and Jojo Fifita are backing up for Origin, and you think they'll play. Obviously, Tino's unfortunately had that family heartache during the week, but I think that he'll do what he can to get back and help his club side as well. So, look, you know, the Titans aren't far off full strength. They're missing a couple, but they're thereabouts. But even missing the Origin stars, I think Penrith will just be far too good for them, mate. I think they're just in that zone at the moment where next yep. man up mentality, the old buzzword, and they'll just roll through them again, mate, for mine.
Yep. Speaking of should be too good, I think Manly have just continued to impress. And the Dogs, we've talked about it all year, just aren't travelling well and have been inconsistent. Manly at Turbo back. We're talking Saturday night. Kohler may play, but even if he's not, there's a fairly good swap there, for one for one. Yep. And they should just continue to roll on. They've been super impressive since Foran took over. And, can't see that anything else happening there. What about you, mate?
Yeah, you're right, mate. That back five now, Turbo, Saab, Kohler, Garrick, Lehi, Hopewade, impressive back five. When you match them up against the others in the comp, there aren't too many that are quicker than that back five. So, look, they'll be their strength. The Bulldogs just need to find some consistency and some form. Kurt Mann's back. So he'll start at 9, which is an interesting one. They've moved Bailey Haywood back to 14, I think, a week or two back. I can't remember with the buys now. But I think they've sort of realised with a few things coming for next year that Bailey Haywood's a 14. He's not a 9. So I think that sort of journey starts for Canterbury, and they start to look towards trying to get some combinations and some of the players in the right positions for next year, mate.
Yep, absolutely. Warriors Cowboys. Luke Metcalf named an extended squad again.
Yeah,
you'd be hard pressed to change the starting halves at the moment. They haven't been doing anything wrong. Mitch Barnett and Kurt Cate will play after Origin. Well, Barnett only played like 25 minutes or something, so you'd imagine he's a fair chance of returning. Again, the Cowboys just don't know what we're going to get. Nanai's back, which will help, but they've just been too inconsistent and just not good enough. And you think the Warriors will just dominate this one?
Yeah, I think so, mate. Obviously, Ruben Cotter, who had a monster game, he'll be backing up. It seems like Dearden's still another week away as a minimum. They're talking probably around 17. So he's still a week away, and he's obviously been a big out for them, although they've handled it fairly well with Clifford and Purdue in the halves. Look, for mine, the Warriors should get back on track. They obviously went down last week in a pretty high-quality defensive game. I think, to your point, they'll want Barnett to play if he can, just on the back of, them in that middle not having the middle that has been so strong for them with a few outs. So I think Barnett will back up. You know, whether they need Kurt Catewell as much or not, you know, they've always got plenty of talented back rowers, the Warriors. So I certainly think Barnett will back up as a minimum. And I think they'll just be a little bit too strong for the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys have got the defence in them that the Sharks showed last week. And for the second week that they've been at home in a row now, I think that'll just make them a lock, mate.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Cowboys like to get in a bit of a roll and play fast football and let the ball sing, but against the Warriors' defence, I just can't see that working. Cool. Then the next one, Storm Raiders. Raiders, just after I thought they might go on a run, have flatlined. Storm are on the rise. Again, just logically, it just seems like an easy win for the Storm in this one.
Yeah, well, this is it for the top eight. So this is a monster game for both sides. They're both sitting similar on the table. For mine, the Raiders don't win this, they're done. I think it's going to be an uphill battle anyway, but I think this one, because they're playing someone so close to them on the ladder and the Storm are on the improve, as we've said in the last couple of weeks, I think this is everything for the Raiders. So I think unless there's any niggles that we haven't heard of yet, obviously Ethan Strange will definitely play. He wasn't out there long enough, but unless there's any niggles, I think you'll get Hudson Young play as well. And then the Storm, they'll definitely want to play. Whether they manage Harry Grant's time out in the middle or not. We'll wait and see. Tyrone Wishart's been named in 19, so he can come in and spell Grant if need be. But for mine, this is a big game for the top eight hopes. So Melbourne will be dialed in and ready to go. And I just think they're going to have too many points, mate. You look across that side, they're not far off full strength. And they're just going to be too good, mate. Our favourite player, Cooper Clarke, starting on an edge for them. So that'll be a good contest up against the Raiders' edge forwards in Young and Hoskins with Lasardi and Clarke. But, yeah, for mine, the Storm will get the win in a very, very important game for both teams.
Yep. We talked about Fogarty being an important out at the start of the year, and as good as Sanders has been at times, unsurprisingly, for a rookie playing his first full year, he's been inconsistent. He'll be much better for it for the season, and he'll be better again next year. But without Strange last week, and with Sanders there, there's just a lack of fluency there in the attack. And I just think, like I said, he'd be better for the run, but the season might start to drag a bit for a young fella playing his first full season. Now, Roosters Sharks, toss a coin because both these sides have been inconsistent. Every time I say this, it usually goes the other direction. But I think I've seen enough from the Sharks the last few weeks to think that they're actually on an upward trajectory now. I'm not going to guarantee they'll win this one, but for me, this will be the match of the round. And I think the Sharks have worked out who they are, how they want to play, and yeah, I think they'll go well.
Yeah. Well, as the last game's going to have a huge bearing on the top eight, this game's going to have a huge bearing on the top four. So five versus six, and a lot of players backing up. You know, Tedesco, Collins, Marky Mark, Robson, Toya, Walker, Radley, just to rattle off the Roosters. And then in some big inclusions for the Sharks with Fenua Blake, Brayley's back from injury. He'll be wanting to get his New South Wales jersey. Nakora backing up. And then Nico Hines. So just when you say the Sharks have found their identity and they know the way they want to play, back comes Nico. So for Nico's sake, he doesn't need to cop the press again. I hope everything goes smoothly for him. I like the Roosters here. I just got something on the Roosters, mate. I really like the way they line up. And I think we spoke about Tedesco picking and choosing a little bit more as opposed to being that blowfly behind the ruck sort of getting in the way a little bit. So if that continues to happen and he picks and chooses his moment to inject himself, they've got a star-studded side, you know, 1 to 13, and then a couple of handy bench players. So for mine, I got the Roosters, but to your point, there won't be any shock whatsoever if the Sharks get up and get a win, mate.
Yep. Like I said, that's my game of the round. What are you thinking, mate, for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm the same, mate. I think that'll be with the understanding that they'll back up, that everyone will back up. I think that'll be an absolute cracker. If I had to pick another one, it'd be the Storm Raiders, mate. I think both coaches, two ex-teammates, they'll both know how important this is for the end of the season, these 2 points. So the Roosters, that whole Sunday football, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, it will be an absolute cracking day of footy. For that matter, the 2 o'clock game, the Warriors and the Cowboys. If the Cowboys turn up, they could be the three best games of the round.
Yeah, could be a good day. Lock of the week.
Look, it's easy to say Penrith over the Titans. I think they will be far too strong for them. But for mine, mate, I like Manly with Turbo back. Even if I hope he's 100% for his sake. But even if he's not. I think Manly will be too strong for the Dogs. What about you?
Yep, same. Heap more misery on the Dogs, and that is a good thing. Upset of the week. Now, I've been big on the Dragons the last few weeks. I'm not sure they've got enough in them to win this week, but if I was looking for an upset, the only one that I could really find would be the Tigers bouncing back with Adam Dewey, but that's all prefaced on him actually playing. But yeah, mate, I don't know. I'm not sure if I can find any more upsets this week. What about you?
No, mate, I'm going to say the same. I haven't picked a perfect round all year, shock horror. But with the assumption that everyone we think is going to back up, I think the favourites run the route this week. I think the favourites will win every game. There could even be a couple of decent-sized scores amongst it. But I can't see any of the roughies getting up with the assumption they all turn up and play, mate.
Yeah. All right. That was good. We got a little bit of therapy there, got some stuff off our chest, and hopefully the Blues fans listening would have taken a bit from that as well, and the Queensland fans listening would have loved hearing every minute of us sacking half the players and the coach with a decider to play.
Yeah, we've been pretty brutal, mate. Looking forward to next week. Obviously, we'll have Will on the show, and we've got our Roosters fans. So make sure you hop on and like and subscribe and follow and do all those social media things for us.
Spot on, mate. Yeah, that's a good one. Next Wednesday, the Thursday show will be with a real-life Roosters fan. So encouraging all those listeners. If you're a fan of a team that you want to talk about, let us know and we'll get you on. He's the first person to step up, so good on him, and we'll see that next week.